Good afternoon. I call the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. For the record, it's 1:30 p.m. on the money, Thursday, February 6, 2020. We're in the Belch Room of the Thomas Stewart Building. We do have a quorum to do business. With us today are Senators Greg Jackson, Senator Stevens, Vice Chair, myself, Senator Bishop, Senators Costello, and Senators Rivak are away on other state business, attending the Joint Armed Services Committee. That's not my, is that my mic? There you go. Okay, good. Today on Senate Records, Carrie Cooper, writer from Senate Records, Carson Walters from the LIO, and my staff and committee aide Cody Grusendorf. On our agenda today, we have one bill, Senate Bill 47, Physical Occupational Therapy Practice, sponsored by Senate President Giesel. There will be public testimony today. And this is the first hearing. We'll be taking public testimony later this afternoon after the invited testimony. Senator Giesel and staff, Ms. Jane Conway, are here to present the bill. After the bill presentation and the sexual analysis, the committee has a CS that we're going to adopt. And for the committee's information, we have online for questions. And in the room, we have Sherry Chambers, Director of Corporations and Professional Licensing, and Jennifer Carlson from the board is online or in the room. Online questions. Okay, there we go. Senator Giesel, Madam President, and Ms. Conway, if you folks want to come up and put yourself on the record, and the floor is yours, you know the drill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N. Senate Bill 47 is being carried by me at the request of the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board. So before we dig into this bill, let me just quickly review what an occupational therapist and what a physical therapist is. They're very similar, but there are two main differences. Occupational therapy focuses on improving a client's ability to perform activities of daily living, opening a jar, holding a pencil, opening a car door, those kinds of activities of daily living. Physical therapy focuses on the client's ability to perform movement of the human body, the physical body. Both of these professions have a high bar for educational requirements. They both require a bachelor's degree, but then going on, an occupational therapy must achieve a master's degree as well. For a physical therapist, they've actually raised the bar to a doctoral degree. Now, they're in the process of moving to the doctoral degree as the level of entry, so there are still master's prepared as well as doctorally prepared physical therapists. But that's not all. Then they have to go on and pass a national board certification test. Then they get to apply for a license. So there are some pretty significant requirements. Occupational therapists are involved in the evaluation of a patient and setting goals for a patient. But then they have assistants. Those are called certified occupational therapy assistants, and they're the people that carry out the evaluation and goals for the patient. So they assist the therapists themselves. With physical therapists, they diagnose patients and then develop a rehabilitation plan, depending on what the patient's diagnosis is, what their underlying disability is. They also have physical therapy assistants, and those folks carry out the rehabilitation plan that the physical therapist writes. Physical therapist assistants and physical therapist aides, so there's two categories of people under a physical therapist. They work under the direction of the physical therapist in assisting the patient. So now to the bill before you. The changes in the bill clarify the Physical Therapy, Occupational Therapy Board, many of the terms in it, and also the composition of the board. So we'll go through that in the next step here. This bill, bear in mind, affects both of these professions. They are combined on this board. So they're very similar. They have distinctions, but they're combined on this board. The board right now is composed of 7 members. That's pretty common for a professional regulatory board. Right now, there's 1 physician, 3 physical therapists, 2 occupational therapists or their assistants, and same with the physical therapy assistants, and 1 public member. And I believe you have the roster of the board in your packet. The bill removes the physician and replaces the physician's seat with an occupational therapist or an occupational therapy assistant. Now, that might seem alarming to some, so let me clarify. Originally, these professionals were regulated by the state medical board, and when they moved away and were allowed to establish their own board, the agreement was there would be a physician on their board to kind of keep an eye on things. That actually isn't necessary anymore. When I visited the board last year during a board meeting, the physician was present and he said, yeah, I'm not really needed here. So that's one of the things that's happening here. It's an obsolete requirement to have the physician on the board. Senate Bill 47 also revises some outdated language related to the education requirements. It removes from the statute a reference to an accrediting entity that no longer exists, and it replaces it with broader language that allows the board options as far as identifying which accrediting agencies they would require for educational purposes and certifications. The bill also enables the board to discipline a therapist if they commit any of the acts in section AS08-84120. This section identifies reasons that they could deny a license: fraud, felony conviction, gross negligence, malpractice, other things like that. But while they can deny a license or revoke a license, they can't actually discipline the therapist who commits these crimes. So this bill would allow them then to discipline those folks. It also makes changes related to individuals who have completed their education outside of the U.S. For example, right now it's the statute uses the term foreign trained. It will now say foreign educated. This is a pet peeve of mine, Mr. Chairman. Puppies, ponies, and toddlers are trained. People, adults, are educated. So I'm glad to see them making that change. That's just my pet beef. And then there's changes specific to physical therapy. The bill changes all reference to physical therapy assistant to physical therapist assistant. Again, it's just updating a term to comply more with the national lingo. There's also title protection provided in the bill. In other words, if someone were to use the term physical therapist, physiotherapist, or the initials PT, they would be misusing that term and susceptible to a Class B misdemeanor. So there's title protection. So you don't have fraudulent people saying, well, I'm putting PT after my name, but they really aren't. So it's a cleanup bill, long overdue for the board. Nothing hidden in it, pretty straightforward. My staff, Jane Conway, is here to take you through the sectional. Thank you very much for hearing the bill.
Any questions, Senator Giesel, before we... Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I always have to ask a question. My former staffer, to see if I can put her on the spot, but no, not really. Having seen someone who spent too many years of my life working on a doctorate, I want to make sure that these are legitimate, that a doctorate in this area is legitimate. What are the requirements beyond a bachelor's degree to get a – is it a PhD, a doctor of philosophy that they receive, and where do they go to school to get those degrees?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, I'm going to let the physical therapists who are here to testify articulate that more clearly. This is exactly what nurse practitioner profession is doing as well. We are moving – us old-timers only have master's degrees, but now a PhD in nurse practitioner is going to be the entry level. Same thing with physical therapists. So I'll let them describe to you the initials.
I don't need that answer right now, but a little bit later.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to save my question for Ms. Conway when we get to Section 3, just for clarification for me. So, Madam President, thank you. And you're welcome to stay there or go to other duties as assigned or whatever you want to do. So, Ms. Conway, would you walk us through the sectional of the bill, please?
Good afternoon, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. This is Jane Conway, staff to Senator Kathy Geisel. I can walk you through the sectional analysis. There's a lot of sections in this bill. Many of them are in here because of changes to making the language conforming for that physical therapist assistant. So they're listed. It's a longer sectional than maybe one would imagine. Section 1, relating to creation and membership of the board, removes the seat for a physician, as Senator Geisel had explained, balances out the board with 3 from physical therapy and 3 from occupational therapy, and along with 1 public member to make up that 7-member board. It also changes the term physical therapy assistant to physical therapist assistant. That middle term, therapy to therapist, is what you're going to see throughout the entire bill. And this is conforming language to the title used nationally. Section 2, under the section of qualifications for licensing, it allows the board to have a broader authority over what entities would have accreditation oversight. Some of the accrediting entities that are listed in statute already right now are either defunct or not providing what the board needs. So this gives the board better options to choose which accrediting entities to use. And it also allows the same thing for the occupational therapists as well. Section 2 also removes language relating to additional supervised field work, because that would be included in the accreditation from the accrediting agencies. So Section 3 is regarding foreign educated applicants. It changes the section headline from trained to educated. New language is added requiring foreign educated physical therapists to have attended a substantially equivalent educational program that has been approved by the board. Outdated and obsolete language is removed. That can be found on page 4, lines 3 to 9 of this bill. Added to 3 of the section is language that would require that a physical therapist or assistant pass a test demonstrating English language competency, if their program was taught in a foreign language.
So there's my question, mm-hmm. just for my edification. Do we know, does the board develop what that matrix for the qualification of suffice that they know English well enough? Is the board developing that? Has they developed that test? Or
Chair Bishop, I would imagine so, that would be set out in their regulations, but I think we should also set that aside for one of our experts that will be testifying a bit later. Okay. But yes, that would seem logical. This would also require that a foreign educated applicant is a legal alien or U.S. U.S. citizen, and requires them to pay a fee and meet any other qualifications for licensure that the board has the authority to set under 0884010. Moving on, all those changes for foreign education are replicated in this bill for occupational therapists as well. On page 4, all the lines 27 to 31, and flowing over to page 5 as well. Section 4 is licensure by acceptance of credentials, and in that section they make conforming terminology language. Section 5 makes conforming terminology changes as well. That's the statute governing temporary permits. Section 6, statute governing limited permit, makes, again, more conforming terminology language. Section 7 changes language that would now require limited permits to be valid for 100 consecutive days. That's a change in Section 7, page 6. Section 8 allows only one limited permit per 12-month period. Section 9 updates licensure technology.
Terminology.
That's the section that governs license certificates. And then in Section 10, it adds that disciplinary action as a possibility of an action a board might consider for an infraction. Senator Giesel touched on that in her opening remarks, so that now they actually could have used some disciplinary action if they found somebody to have violated the terms in that section. And then 11 adds updated credentialing and terminology for physical therapists. Section 12 updates terminology again, but for physical therapist assistants. Section 13 adds a new paragraph defining the updated term for physical therapist assistant. And Section 14 updates definitions in the criminal law and sexual assault statute. And it adds OT and OTA, and also the PTA language is added in that section of criminal law. Section 15, it also adds terminology in the child protection statute. So just adding those as folks that are subject to that statute. And then Section 16 is repealed. That is the former definition of a physical therapist. And it's according to legal, when you put in a new definition of a medical provider, it is automatically, the old one is automatically repealed rather than substitute. It's a legal rule they follow in our drafting department. Section 17, it sets out the applicability clauses for licensure and foreign education, sections 2 and 3, and also for sections 7 and 8 that govern limited permits. And then there is transition language for the board vacancy and appointments so that they can carry out their terms as is, and then this legislation would come into effect when the new board members then are appointed. And that concludes on page 9 all the sections of Senate Bill 47.
Thank you for that. We're still having a little sticker shock after that licensure bill and all those sections last week. This was good. Any questions on the sectional from committee members? All right. There is an updated fiscal note, Ms. Chambers. I mean, if you want to come up and cover that, or I can, it's $2,300 to handle postage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for mailing out notifications, if that's the long and short of it. So, physical notes covered. Senator Stevens.
Yes, sir. I move the work draft for Senate Bill 47, version 331-LS0109-U as the working document before the committee.
All right. I'll object for the purposes of explanations. Ms. Conley.
The CS version U contains a change from the original version M. It is found on page 8, line 14, in the new definition, in the definition of physical therapist assistant. In the original version, on that line it said includes testing or evaluation. We are removing the words testing or, because in all reality, the physical therapist assistant does do some testing at the direction of the physical therapist, and it's a normal part of their work. So we are removing those words. They do not evaluate the results of the testing. That is left to the physical therapist, but they do do some testing with their patients. So that is why we're removing those two words from the definition.
And page and line again.
Okay, page 8.
Got it.
Line 14.
Line 14. There
yes.
we go. Got it.
Yep. And it used to say, do not include testing or evaluation. We are removing testing or. So it would say the therapist assistant, do not include evaluation.
All right. Very good. Thank you. So I'll remove my objection for, and seeing no further objection, version U is before the committee as our working document. So I'd like to move into invited testimony now. And Leanne Carruthers,
yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Please bring yourself forward. And Scotty Orr, if you want to come up as well and get in the queue, and whoever wants to go first and put your name and affiliation on the record, and please proceed.
Got it. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Leanne Carruthers, and I am here representing the Alaska Physical Therapy Association, which is about 400 licensed PTs, physical therapists, and physical, I guess licensed, we'll say physical therapy assistants for now, though it pains me to do so. So I'm accompanied by Scotty Orr, who will introduce himself. And I wrote a note to address the question about the doctoral level education first. In order to go to an entry-level physical therapy school, a professional school, it requires a bachelor's degree in something, though with it, it goes prerequisites in anatomy and physiology and physics and chemistry and psychology and lots of other things. It's generally a 3-year doctoral program, so 4 plus 3, so the average is about 7 years of education. 2 of those years tend to be classroom education, followed by or with an integrated approximately 12 months of a supervised clinical rotation. So like psychologists, there are PhD psychologists. There are also PsyD, PsyD. The DPT or the Doctor of Physical Therapy would be that analog. Help?
Thank you.
Sorry, through the chair.
Follow up. Well, I appreciate that. I have a daughter who's a PsyD, so I know that it's a legitimate form of academic study. So this, so I think I understand that. It goes through accredited institution through universities. What are some of the schools that that you might go to and get to get the doctorate?
Senator Stevens, through the chair. There are many programs across the country. There are private graduate medical kinds of schools that have other medical programs. There are some state universities, but there are literally hundreds across the country because of the need for physical therapists, particularly with our aging population. The national accrediting body is the Commission on Accreditation in Physical Therapy Education. And in order to sit for the National Physical Therapy Licensing Exam, you need to graduate from a CAPTI accredited school. That is true in every state in the nation. And so the standards for that accreditation are incredibly high.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to hear that. So is this a sort of a wave of the future? Are more folks going into a doctoral program than before?
Correct. So the vast, well, I think now all of the entry-level physical therapy programs are at the clinical doctorate level. Mm-hmm. Most states have some form of direct access, which means that unlike back when we needed to be supervised by a physician, patients don't need a prescription from a physician in order to see their physical therapist. So to go with that, the Physical Therapy Association decided that with that privilege came increased responsibility. And so particularly the ability to be able to evaluate a patient and to be able to say, wow, you may have back pain, but this may be back pain because of some reason other than an orthopedic or a musculoskeletal condition. So to know when we shouldn't be seeing somebody. So courses and classes were added in differential diagnosis and radiology and pharmacology to really increase the level and the degree to which people are competent to be able to keep patients safe. And so with that, the transition to from a master's degree to the entry-level doctorate was made.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So then I understand that this bill does not make any requirements of a PhD or a doctorate. It's simply where the industry is going, I guess.
And Senator Stevens, through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you.
You bet.
Please continue.
Yes, sir. Senator Giesel asked me to do a quick blurb about the benefits of physical and occupational therapy, particularly as they pertain to opioids. And I am happy to have any opportunity to do that.
I can't wait for the connection.
There is clear evidence that supports early access to physical therapy, reduces the overall need for opioids. Okay, sometimes people don't even need them. The old standard of practice was, and I'll go back to the back pain example, is that you go see your doctor for back pain, your physician for back pain, and you would leave with a prescription for Percocet and muscle relaxers. And that they could go on for months. So particularly with direct access and people's ability to be able to see a physical therapist directly, we can see people and get them back to work and back to their lives more quickly. Without opioids, often avoiding expensive imaging or surgery, and the conservative treatment is really the way to go. And so, like I said, there's clear scientific evidence that shows that early access to physical therapy reduces the need and use of opioids, which, as we're all aware, is a big, big issue nationwide and also in Alaska.
Thank you for that.
All right. So I'm here today in support of SB 7047, and thank you again for hearing the bill today, and would like to say that we're also grateful to Senator Giesel for sponsoring this bill. And despite the busy legislative agenda before you this year, we're hoping that you and the committee can help us get it passed this session. Briefly, to sum up sort of our perspective on what the bill accomplishes, an important one is it brings terminology, I think the word that Jane used was conforming terminology. So it brings current language to date with national practice. Physical therapist assistants haven't been referred to nationally as physical therapy assistants since about 1978. So it brings Alaska up to date. it also gets language up to date as far as the bodies that actually accredit programs. Talked about changing the board, and the benefit of that is that we remove the remnant of needing physician supervision, which is hasn't been the case in a long, long time, since about the 60s for physical therapy. Reduces obstacles to licensure for graduates of foreign programs. My favorite example for that is I have a colleague that went to school in London. And in order to be eligible for a license in Alaska, she had to take an English proficiency exam. And as Senator Stevens said earlier, that's the mother tongue. So an important thing is that it gives the board disciplinary authority, which will help contribute to public safety. Provides term protection for physiotherapist, PT, and physical therapist, which will clarify to consumers the type of clinician they're seeing. So thank you again for hearing the bill and for your time. I'd be happy to answer any questions you've got.
We're fine. That was Senator Stevens.
I'm sorry, but I do have a question. You know, you're dealing with folks like myself who have absolutely no background in medicine, so these are pretty basic questions. But I'd always make the assumption that first you would see a medical doctor, a physician, and then they would refer you to a physical therapist. But what you've indicated is that that's not necessarily the case, that you can go to a physical therapist initially with questions. Is that – do I understand that correctly?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, yes, you are correct. And so, yeah, most states have what we call that direct access. To be able to see a physical therapist without a prescription – from a physician, Some insurance companies require that there is a prescription or having the physician sign off on the plan of care. But Alaska has been a long time direct access state. And I think that was originally done to address sparseness of providers and increase the ability of patients to be able to see a provider rather than having to go through the additional hoops. An example would be somebody sprains their ankle. They see their primary care doctor, who then sends them to an orthopedist, who then sends them to a physical therapist after x-rays. And now somebody who sprains their ankle could go see a physical therapist off the street, begin treatment immediately. That physical therapist would be able to do a detailed examination to determine that the issue really is a musculoskeletal issue. And should they determine that that's not the case, they refer them back to a physician and or perhaps suggest imaging studies in order to make sure that it's a sprain, not a fracture. But it really reduces barriers to care.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, and that seems to be much more efficient and less costly for the entire system. Thank you.
You bet.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look amazed because I am. I had no idea that in Alaska you didn't have to get a prescription to go see a physical therapist. And I heard you say something in reference to insurance companies. Mm-hmm. So is it based on insurance companies also and what they require? Because I'm a little confused. Based on personal experience.
Senator Gray Jackson, through the chair. Some insurance companies require the prescription. Workers' comp is one. So that in order to see a physical therapist, you need to have had a prescription ahead of time. Medicare requires that the therapist, after their evaluation and setting up the treatment plan, submit that to the physician who signs off on the treatment plan. Doesn't necessarily approve it, but recognizes the plan and signs off on it. It's a Medicare, for lack of a better word, hoop. And so if you were to go see a physical therapist off the street, as it were, they would work with you to ensure that you had the appropriate documents in place in order before they saw you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Seeing no further questions, is that you're wrapped up?
I am.
Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
Scotty Orr?
Yes. Hello. My name is Scotty Orr. I'm representing the Alaska State Occupational Therapy Association. excuse me. We represent about 120 occupational therapists and certified occupational therapy assistants. And in collaboration with what Leanne had said, the ACOTA is in support of moving forward with this Senate Bill 47, specifically in regards to updating the language to make it more current with the national standards, as well as the removal of the physician from the board and in replacing that position with an occupational therapist for representation.
Committee members, we're good. All right, we're going to go online, and I believe Megan is in Maryland and is our next testifier. Megan, can you hear us?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Excellent. Would you put your name and affiliation on the record, please?
Great, yes. My name is Megan Putler, and I'm representing the American Occupational Therapy Association.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today. AOTA is the National Professional Association representing the interests of more than 213,000 occupational therapists, students of occupational therapy, and occupational therapy assistants. AOTA strongly supports the role of state government in regulating the practice of occupational therapy. We've advocated for state occupational therapy laws with the same three core licensure requirements: successful completion of academic requirements of an educational program for occupational therapists or occupational therapy assistants that's accredited by the Accreditation Council for Occupational Therapy Education, also known as ACO, A-C-O-T-E, or predecessor organizations; successful completion of a period of supervised fieldwork experience; and passing the entry-level exam. SB 47 proposes to revise qualifications for licensing for occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants by, one, removing from statute specific names of organizations who exercise certification control over OT, and, two, clarifying requirements for foreign educated applicants. By making these changes, this bill will be removing obsolete language. The legislation also proposes a change to the composition of the board, which allows for more balanced representation. So on behalf of AOTA, I'm pleased to support SB 47. Thank you so much for your time.
Very, very well done. Thank you for your testimony. We're going to go to Fairbanks next, and Jennifer Carlson.
Hello. For the record, I am Jennifer Carlson. I am a physical therapist and member of the Alaska Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Licensing Board. I've been a member of that board since March 1st, 2017. The statutory change basically has been a goal for the board for many years, at least 10-plus years. An introduction of SB 47 addresses updating and clarifying the current law to ensure professional licensing requirements and supporting documentation is both consistent and aligned with national and international standards. Excuse me. A similar bill was introduced in 2017, but due to both the state budget crisis and board member turnover, it did not get a hearing. Thank you very much for introducing this bill. The Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy appreciates your time in holding this hearing, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Well, thank you for your testimony. I'm looking at the committee members, and I don't see any questions. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
and have
welcome.
A good day
thank
up
you.
There in Fairbanks.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. I'm going to open public testimony at this time. And is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? All right. Don't see anybody, and I see no one online. Am I correct? Nobody wants to test. All right. So I'm closing public testimony. So we're open and closed. So with that being said, any final questions from committee members? Senator Giesel, final wrap-up, ma'am?
Nothing, thank you.
All right. We'll set this bill aside with anticipation of moving it next week. And let's see. This concludes the meeting for today. The next meeting is February 11th, and we're going to have SB 47 up at the top of the calendar on the 11th. Our intention is to move the bill on that day. And also SB 81 will be a first hearing on telephone cooperatives telecommunications by Senator Hughes. So on Thursday, February 13th, we're going to have a Alaska Higher legal history briefing. And I'd like to thank everybody in the room for participating in this meeting. And it is 2:08 p.m. We're adjourned.